Good morning, PGC. May God's grace to you and also your family. Pray that all of you are safe and stay healthy during this COVID-19 pandemic. This is the first time I meet you behind a screen. It is quite a special experience. Praise God that we all have life and also breath to come to worship Him this morning. It is indeed a great blessing. We have to give thanks to God. Let's bow down to have a word of prayer together. Dear Father God, thank you for your grace and protection. You are our rock, our fortress, and our deliverer. We ask you, Father, for your healing hands upon the sick. We ask you, Father, for your comfort upon bereaved families. We ask you, Father, for the protection of our country. This morning, as we come to your throne with a humble spirit, may you open our ears, open our spiritual eyes, and open our hearts to receive the precious word from you. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, within just a few months, the whole world seems to be turning upside down due to the COVID-19. Even such a peaceful land as Canada, the number of our confirmed cases and also death tolls are so high. So the Canadian government has issued the state of emergency and asked everyone to stay home except those frontline workers. So this 2 months, most of us, we didn't have to go to work, we didn't have to go to school. For the students, they don't even have to go to any of those after-school activities, such as piano classes, swimming classes, and Kumon classes. So with the social distancing, we couldn't even have gatherings with our friends and also have dim sum lunch with our grandparents. Basically, we just stay with our whole family, our own families, in the house 724. It could be very sweet because with our regular hectic schedule, we seldom have the time to enjoy dinner together or play board games as a family together. However, with everyone staying at home now, don't you find that sometimes our personal space are so limited that it is often for us to get into conflicts together, and also with stresses and worries introduced by the uncertainty in job security and also potential kind of economic decline after the reopening. Many parents may be very tense or become sensitive. And between siblings, it is easier to get into the fight. It will easily lead to some kind of family conflicts and also fights over big or small matters. This lockdown is in fact a major test for family bonding. Verbal abuses or quarrels could happen anytime between husband and wife, between parents and children, between in-laws and also siblings. And so when we are in such a state, we find that sometimes our sinful tongue may get out of control easily and also may get into a verbal disargument and an argument all the time. So today, that is the discussion of today's sermon, Grieving of the Holy Spirit. We may ask, will Holy Spirit have emotions and grief? If we believe that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are three in one, they have similar attributes. So if God and Jesus could love us, why can't the Holy Spirit? Why can't the Holy Spirit love us or even have grief over us? So the term grief, it means deep sorrow. For example, when we see someone we love misbehave or he's spiraling down into a pit, we will feel so disappointed and very alarmed. And if we find that the money in our pocket, in our wallet is gone, we will feel very angry. But if we notice that it is our own son that has stolen the money, not only will we feel very furious, we will also be very troubled and upset, because we love our son and we have high hope that he will grow up into a godly man. Similarly, when human sins, God will be furious. But if that person is a Christian, God will be in great disappointment and also sorrow. Our sin caused the Holy Spirit to grieve. So in order for us to understand why the Holy Spirit grieves, we first have to understand the work of the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, it says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." In the olden days, people, they did not use a signature. So instead, they put some hot wax on the belongings and press a stamp on it. This wax stamp could never be removed, and it will not be forged. That's why it means that this item will belong to the owner forever and ever. Similarly, when we accepted Jesus as our Savior, He put the Holy Spirit in us as a seal to show that we belong to Him. We belong to God forever and ever. The Holy Spirit will clean us up from inside out, turning us into a new person. It reminds me of my coworker. In fact, my coworker, he like to buy old houses and renovate them as an investment, as well as his hobby. So after getting off from work every day, he will go to spend 1 or 2 hours per day to renovate that old house, cleaning it up from inside out, removing all the garbages, removing all the old-fashioned cupboards in the kitchen, and replace it with some new modern styled ones, removing the whole carpet and putting on a new Persian area rug. After completing the whole project, he looked at himself and looked at the renovated house, and he felt so proud of his own good work. Then he rented it out. After a few weeks, he really missed the house, so he drove over to the place. But in his dismay, he noticed that the new occupants have kept 3 dogs. And 2 cats. Yes, 3 dogs and 2 cats. So we say, oh my goodness, there goes the new Persian rug. He also saw that there was a lot of flies gathered around the garbage left in the front yard there. And also the window of the second floor was broken. How would you feel if you were my co-workers? When he saw all his good efforts was wasted, he was very upset. This is exactly how the Holy Spirit feels. When he has helped us to get rid of our sins and our bad habits, and then he let have us turn over, and we are supposed to be a clean person. But as we let the sins re-enter into our life easily, this make the Holy Spirit so sad and grieve so much. What type of sins will cause the grieving of the Holy Spirit? There are many, but I think one of them is in Ephesians chapter 4. Paul talked about there's the unity of the body of Christ. The body of Christ are Christians in a church. So when he saw that there was unity among the believers, and he asked them to bear one with one another in love. But at the end of that same chapter. Paul was very disappointed because he found that they have disunity among the Ephesian believers, as there were bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and also slander with malice among them. The Holy Spirit grieved because it was just like a parent when the parent witnessed Tessa having a big fight among her own children. This is the sadness of a parent. The same thing. The Holy Spirit, when he saw that there were fights among believers, among family members, the Holy Spirit will grieve. In fact, all of us have a sinful tongue, regardless of our age. In the movie, we always could see some grumpy old folks complain and scream nasty comments, right? How about young children? Once I heard a few children at playground, they tried to bully a short boy and say, "Don't join our team. You are so short. You always are so goofy and so dumb. Don't join our team." So regardless if we are young or old, regardless of whether male or female, we all have a sinful tongue that can pour out hurtful words. Do you also know that someone that may have also such a critical tongue? Are we one of them? Are we one of them that always like to criticize everything? Whether it's big matters or small matters, all the time we like to criticize. Sometimes, even Christians can be very critical. So even though like as Christians may wrap it up like a Christmas wrapping, that kind, you know, put it in, present our criticism with many spiritual terms. But we have to see what is the motive behind such a criticism. The Bible told us that words are very powerful. In Proverbs chapter 18, 21, that's what it says. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who have it will eat its fruit. So when we speak words of encouragement, it will build up people. But if we say some critical and hurtful words, it could be very have a lot of consequences, and it could be a lethal weapon that has destructive and serious consequences. Have you heard of a popular singing group named Carpenters? I don't know if you are too young to hear about this singing group. In our days, you know, this singing group is very popular group. It was formed by a brother, Richard Carpenters, and also his sister, Karen. They were very gifted. And the songs, so maybe now when I talk about the songs, you may know about it. It's like Top of the World or Wait a Minute, Mr. Postman. So now you may remember what that group is, right? So for them, the songs always hit the top of the Billboard in our days. The records could be sold in millions around the world. However, after 14 years of a bright career, Karen Carpenters, she died at the age of 32 years old due to anorexia. That is a disease with eating disorder. It all started one day when Richard, her brother, jokingly teased her sister, saying, "Oh, you little fatty." Since then, Karen always thought that she was overweight, so she went on a very strict diet. Eventually, she even refused to eat. That led to her death at the age of 32. Sometimes, criticism may lead to serious consequences beyond our expectation. It is common to have conflicts in a relationship, either at home, at office, at school, or even among church members. And then we always hear young people may complain that their parents are having trying to nag them all the time, right? And we may always hear the husbands annoyed at the frequent criticism of their wives. Of course, sometimes it is necessary for us to give constructive comments. But if we have to give a criticism, we have to ask ourselves honestly if that criticism is appropriate and if it is delivered with a good intention. Based on Ephesians chapter 4, 29 to 32, we could suggest 5 basic principles whenever we are giving criticism. I want to use the word THINK, T-H-I-N-K, which is an acronym. Each one of the letter will represent 1 point, totally 5 points. So every time before we give any criticism, these are the 5 principles that we have to think before we give a criticism. So let's go for it. Firstly, the first one is T, the letter T. T stands for true. We have to ask if the criticism we make, is it true or not? Is our observation accurate or fair? Is the source of information reliable? You may have heard a very famous literature, The Pride and Prejudice. It talks about a young man and a woman. They admired each other, but the man was very proud, while the woman had got some false information from some unreliable source, so that she always just formed a prejudice against this man. So whatever he did, she always looked at it through a lens and disapproved it. So of course, at the end, the misunderstanding was resolved and it had a happy ending. But they have wasted so much time and had experienced so much heartbreaking moments. It is common for people to accept scandals or negative information than when we receive any possible ones, positive ones. So when we hear about any kind of breakup news of the celebrity, or say now Prince Harry and Meghan, they cut off their ties from the British royal family. The news spread so fast, and it was even put on the headline news. However, who of us could still remember who was the Nobel Prize winner last year? Not many of us. We tend to remember those bad information and forget about those good ones. So before we criticize our parents, our children, our siblings, our spouse, our friends, our co-workers, or even our church members, we have to think if it's due to our own personal prejudice against them, or are we reading through a biased lens? Is our judgment fair? Do we get that information from a reliable source? And also, did we check out its validity? That's exactly what Ephesians chapter 4 verse 25 and Ephesians chapter 4, 15 have been teaching us. Let me tell you what they are. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak fruitfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. And that is from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. So, the first principle is T, true. The second principle is T-H-I-N-K, that is the H. H stands for hurtful. We have to ask ourselves honestly, when we are criticizing people, how do we feel inside? Are we getting more and more excited, like we are shooting out a machine gun? If so, it is likely we have a wrong motive. It seems that we are glad to spot someone's mistakes, and we take this chance to express our negative emotions as a revenge to what they have done, may have done to us in the past. But if we are feeling sad seeing when we saw that they have a mistake, and we just want to help that person to turn over a new leaf, our motive is likely to be more pure and constructive. Therefore, when we are giving a criticism, let's check if we have such feelings as described in Ephesians chapter 4, 31. Do we have the bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and also slander along with every form of malice? If we do, what comes out from our mouth will cause the grieving of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we are very mean. We know that what words will be pressing the hot button of that person and trigger their angers on hers. And we say those words on purpose just to spike them. Spike our parents, spike our siblings, spike our spouse, or spike our friends. We use it as a weapon, trying to hurt or revenge on that person. On the other hand, sometimes we may not have an ill intention, but we thought that we're trying to be funny, and we say something just to get a joke, and we speak it maybe with a sarcastic tone that will make us look cool, and also we think that it's kind of funny. But we don't know that sometimes this verse, this joke, may hurt someone's feeling. Once there was a youth, he has to eat last night, the previous night's dinner, the leftover, because his father has lost his job, and the financial condition of the family was very tight. So he has to have the leftover from previous night. His classmate that was sitting beside him at lunch break immediately make a very nasty comment and say, "Yuck! What are you eating? Only homeless people or a pig will eat such nasty garbage." He may just trying to be funny, you know, just joking. He may not know what is happening to this friend at home. So with such a comment, he's hurting that person so deeply. Such a callous comment will hurt his friends so much deep inside. We really have to be careful when we are making a hurtful comment. It is like squeezing the toothpaste out from the tube. Once the toothpaste is getting out from the tube, it is hard to squeeze it back into the tube. So whenever we say something out, we speak it, we could not take it back because the damage is already done. So we have to watch carefully if the thing that we are saying is H, hurtful. So the third principle, THI, is the I. I is inspiring. Whenever we are giving feedback or criticism, we have to ask ourselves, honestly, what is the purpose? What is our motive? Do we want to use this opportunity just to express our frustration or to step over someone to make us look higher, better than they are? Or do we intend to help that person to improve so that they could grow or shine? So Lincoln has once said something that is very meaningful. He said, "Only when a person has a heart to help, he then has a right to criticize." So when we are criticizing someone, our spouse, our children, our friend, our sibling, Are we feeling a sense of superiority? We are better than they are, higher than they are. Could we turn this negative comment into something that are positive, to inspire and to empower them so that they could be turning over and make good use of their gifts to shine? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, that's what the Bible says. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. From the researchers, we find that among the six factors contributing to a healthy and happy family, the most important one is to show mutual appreciation, showing the mutual encouragement and thanksgiving. For every criticism, it requires four praises or encouragement in order to cancel off, to balance off a criticism. So in order to keep a good relationship, so the criticism against encouragement and praises is at the ratio of 1 to 4. Remember, every one criticism, it needs four praises or encouragement to balance it off. Once I have a summer camp intern, she was a very shy and a very quiet youth. So a lot of times she didn't say much. She was quiet, but she was very dedicated in all the tasks I assigned her. So including those small and even some tedious jobs that other youth helpers, they were reluctant to take. After observing her for a while, one day, I pat on her back and expressed my appreciation for her faithful serving. When she heard that, her face glowed with joy. If we have the opportunity to empower someone, why we have to be so mean not to say something to inspire others? So be more generous. Say something to encourage or praise, give appreciation to other people instead of being critical all the time. So the third one is I inspiring. Move on to the fourth one. The fourth one is N, necessary. Before we open our mouth to give criticism, we have to first think carefully. If the comment is necessary, is the issue so serious that we have to voice it out? Or are we just being too picky or too critical and we are just perfectionists? Sometimes, after reflection, we may notice that it is not such a big problem. Instead, it may be due to our narrow-minded or sensitive spirit that we overreact to a small problem. It's our heart, just like what is said in verse 31, is filled with bitterness, rage, and anger. If so, even if our criticism is valid, we may add in a lot of negative emotions, which would turn our words into lethal weapon. As says in Psalm 64, verse 3, they sharpen their tongues like swords and aim cruel words like deadly arrows. So before we make any negative comment, think twice. Is it really necessary to say it? If not, just swallow it back and leave it out. So now it comes to the fifth principle, T-H-I-N-K. K is kind. Every time before any critical words leave our mouth, we have to think. If it is delivered with kindness, mercy, and forgiveness, if we put ourselves into that person's shoes, will we be committing the same mistake? By doing so, we will be more understanding, more accommodating and forgiving to other people's struggles and also their challenging situations. With such an empathetic heart, when we give feedbacks, our tone of voice will naturally be softer with mercy. It will then be easier for anyone, for people to accept our suggestion. And in verse 32, Paul taught us, be kind and compassionate to one another. Forgive each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. We aim to give people some concrete and some constructive feedback so that they can improve. I have been using a sandwich approach whenever I have to give criticism, at least to remind myself every time I have to give a criticism. What is a sandwich? A sandwich is usually, it has a slice of lettuce, then the meat, maybe like a piece of ham, and followed by a slice of tomato. So when we have to give some negative comments, don't like start off with a criticism. If so, people will naturally shut off their ears. Whatever we are saying will just simply be ignored. So it is more effective to start with some valid praises or positive comments. Like, that is a slice of lettuce. But when we start opening up the ears, they are expecting to hear more praises, it is the time to give them the piece of meat, the ham, which is our constructive criticism and suggestion. This is the solid part that we want to suggest to them with not with hurtful words, but with kindness, that kind, you know, with a good motive, inspiring the things that we have just talked about. So when they are receiving it, when they are just about shut off their ears again because we're giving them the meat, then now it is the time that we give them that piece of tomato. So that means at the end of the conversation, after we have given them the suggestion, the critical suggestions, then we have to affirm them again that we are confident that if they try, they will show great improvement. Or we may commit ourselves to support them so that with the cooperation with us, they could do a good job. Because by doing so, it is easier for anyone to swallow that piece of meat in the middle. So give someone the praises, appreciation, something that you observe that, but it has to be true, that is good that they are doing. Then here comes the meat, and at the end, give the affirmation again. So this last principle is K, is kindness. Let's wrap up this whole sermon with a story. Once there were two young brothers. The younger one had made a mistake, and then the older brother shouted at him with abusive and also hurtful comments. It made the younger brother very sad, and he started crying. When the father understood what was happening, then he tried to correct the elder brother and also punish him because he has really done something wrong. So he asked the elder brother, "Now give you a box of nails. You have to go out to the backyard and hammer all these nails onto the fence." So the elder brother, he understood that he has really done something quite bad. So he went out to the backyard and spent one whole hour to put the nails on the fence. An hour later, he came back and told father, "Now it's all done. The whole box of nails are finished." But surprisingly, the father asked the boy, "Now you have to go back to the backyard to pull out all those nails that you have hammered out from the fence." The boy was so frustrated, saying, "What? Do I have to do it? I spent an hour to do it." But that is a punishment. It's a punishment. So he went out to the backyard to pull out all those nails he has hammered onto the fence. It took him 3 hours. So as he came back, he was so exhausted. And then the father took the elder brother's hand. They went out to the backyard again. He said to the boy, "My son, the hurtful words you said to your brother are like those nails you hit on the fence. They are damaging to his spirit. Now, when you remove the nails from the fence, it is like you are feeling sorry for what you have done and even apologize to your brother. But it took you 3 times as much the effort to restore the broken relationship. However, the worst thing is that, look at here, my son. There are so many holes on the fence. Even after the nails have been removed, the holes, they still remain on the wood, and the damage could not be fixed. Hurtful words are like those. Once it is said, it is left. The damage is left on that person, maybe forever and ever, and could not be reversed. So therefore, whenever we have to make any criticism or give negative feedback, we have to think carefully about those 5 factors that we have just talked about. Is it true? Is it hurtful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? And also, is it kind? Let's read Ephesians chapter 4, 2-3 as a commitment to the Lord for controlling our sinful tongue, and use it as a channel of blessing instead of causing a grief of the Holy Spirit. So let's read it all together. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. May the Lord grant us love, joy, and peace in our family, in our school, in our office, and also in our church. Let's bow down together to have a word of prayer. Dear Father God, thank you for giving us the salvation of Christ. Thank you for letting the Holy Spirit as a seal of our redemption, that we are confident to know that we belong to you forever. Father God, please forgive our many sins, especially our sinful tongue that causes grieving of the Holy Spirit. Oh Father God, please let the Spirit always remind us to speak with mercy, kindness, and also love. When we have to give criticism, please give us wisdom to speak so that we could build up one another instead of tearing one another down. Father God, we ask you to give us the unity, the peace among our family, our church body. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord give you peace.